convene the Ways and Means Committee. We are operating under Rule 10.01, which was posted online. We have a quorum present. Representative Olson, would you care to move the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the minutes from May 11th, 2020.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The first bill that we have up this morning is by Representative Murphy, House File 2529. Representative Olson, would you care to make a motion to put the bill before us?
Sure. I move the Capital Investment Finance Division report for House File 2529.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? This is a division report. Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carried. Representative Olson, we have an amendment. Would you care to make a motion?
So I move, first I'll move House File 2529.
Move the bill. Yeah, we adopt the report. Now we move the bill and then we take the amendment. Representative Olson.
Great. I move House File 2529 as amended be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Olson?
I will also, Mr. Chair, move the A20-0785 DE amendment for the author.
Okay, that motion is before us, and this will get the bill in the shape that the author would like. Any discussion? Representative?
I apologize. Mr. Chair, would you also like me to move the amendment to the amendment at this time?
I was just going to ask Representative Murphy if she wants that moved at this point. I think that helps get it in the order that she'd like. So,
yes, Mr. Chair.
We'll make the motion. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I also move that House File 2529A19 amendment to the amendment be moved as well to get the bill in the shape for the author.
Okay. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. We have some other amendments before us. Representative Murphy, would you like to take those amendments now or wait?
I'd just soon take them now, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we have a motion by Representative Davids.
So moved.
Okay, Representative Davids moves the H2529A16 amendment to the amendment. Representative Davids, would you care to explain your amendment? Representative Davids?
Can you hear me?
I can now. Would you care to comment about your amendment, if you could explain it?
I don't have it before me here, Mr. Chairman. I apologize.
Okay, maybe.
If it's Chatfield Center for the Arts, I'm sure it's good.
I think most of us have been there more than once. I think we're familiar with it. Mr. Lee, do you have any information on it that very quickly? It's the Chatfield Center for the Arts.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the amendment.
And Representative Davids pinned somebody on the stage there at one time. We hear that story out there.
And there's a Spartan mark right there.
Okay, the motion is before us. I think we're familiar. It's the Chatfield Center for the Arts. I think the committee's been there more than once. I've been there several times. Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, it deletes the reference to phase two, and I don't see a real need for it, but it would probably do no harm.
Okay, so you accept.
Mr. Chairman, maybe we could have House Research explain what it's for. If it's not needed, I'll defer to the chair.
I asked Mr. Lee if he wanted to tell us.
It would be Ms. No, it would be
somebody else, Representative Murphy.
It was would be Ms. Dyson.
Okay, Ms. Dyson then.
Mr. Chair and members, the amendment was requested by the advocates for the project to take out the reference to phase two. Otherwise, it doesn't change the description of the project. It must be that it's not necessarily a phase, but it otherwise leaves the description of the project intact.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'll defer to Chair Murphy, whatever she wants.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I just don't see a need for it.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids.
I'll withdraw the amendment.
Okay, the amendment is withdrawn. We have another amendment by Representative Torkelson. Representative Torkelson, would you care to move your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move, I believe it's the A-17, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes, I move the A-17 amendment.
Okay, that motion is before us. Representative Torkelson, would you explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a project in Martin County. I'm doing this on behalf of Representative Gunther. The project, some of the details of the project have changed, and this is, I believe, a technical amendment to update the language of that portion of the bill. I'd be happy to defer to Mr. Lee or Ms. Dyson for further details.
Okay, Ms. Dyson.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this amendment actually cleans up the amendment so that it properly describes the project. The bill language left out site preparation, and it needs to describe the site preparation and then also some offices. So this would clean it up to properly describe the project.
Okay, that seems non-controversial. Representative Murphy.
I think that is acceptable, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. We now have the bill before us, Representative Murphy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I am honored to bring this bill before you. It's a culmination of 2 years of work of our committee, and we had 43 committee hearings over the biennium where we heard almost 250 individual bills, and we received multitudes of bonding presentations on our tours. We traveled the state for 17 long, long days, 16-hour days, and listening to presentations, telling us about their needs and their hopes and their dreams. This bill is a substantial answer to the people's need for being connected to each one region, to another region, and throughout. It's also a bill that addresses the basic infrastructure of our state, whether it's the clean water or repairing roads and bridges or needing new ways of meeting and expanding or changing old buildings. It's restoring our natural spaces, and it's giving people a way to address Minnesota together. The governor has talked all year about, or all biennium, about bringing Minnesota together, and this really truly does that. One of the things that our committee heard the most about from every state agency that addressed us was the need for infrastructure asset preservation and deferred maintenance. And there's no amounts of money that's in our realm of reality that could address all the deferred maintenance of state buildings in the state. But this makes a really dip into the needs. This bill is basically
when I said the bill, the amendment in essence became the bill, but we do have to technically adopt it. So,
I'm sorry.
On the amendment or the bill? Let's adopt the amendment. That becomes the bill.
Yes.
Any discussion then on the A-20-0785 amendment as amended? And then that'll put the bill as we want to discuss it before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Now, Representative Murphy on the bill as amended. And
okay.
Just kind of continue your comments then. I should have taken it probably earlier than I did, but we now have it before us like you wanted.
That's fine. And I'm almost out of my time, I guess. At this point in time, I will ask Mr. Andrew Lee, who is the creator of the spreadsheets and the debt capacity charts and the credit ratings and so forth. I will ask him to begin his presentation.
Mr. Lee?
Mr. Chair and members, I'm working off of the 2020 capital budget DE amendment to House File 2529 spreadsheet, and that should be sent out to the committee, but also on the committee's webpage, labeled House File 2529 A20-0785, under the amendment, and it says spreadsheet as amended in parentheses, if you're looking for it. It's a portrait spreadsheet that is basically a long list. I'll just be highlighting section totals here. So the first total for the University of Minnesota on line 11 is $161.886 million for both higher education asset preservation and a number of university building projects. Then under Minnesota State, the total is $263,671,000, and that is split between GO bonds and state-backed but user-financed bonds. The user-financed piece is about $40 million, and that's supported by system revenues. Then under the Department of Education, there's $3,016,000 for library construction grants. For Minnesota State Academies, $17.71 million for asset preservation and a number of projects. For Perpich, $3.1 million. Then moving on to the next page for the Department of Natural Resources, $201,643,000 for the DNR, and that's both general fund and GO bonds. And then at the bottom of page two, $53.592 million for the Pollution Control Agency. That's both programs and grants to political subdivisions. And I'll note that there's also additional appropriation bond allocations to the MPCA that comes later in the spreadsheet and in the bill language. Then for Board of Water and Soil Resources, $44.85 million, of which $8 million is from the general fund. Then for the Department of Health and Agriculture, there's a total of $23.528 million, most of which is for the Department of Health and Ag laboratory building, both equipment, and there's also a general fund piece and two grants to political subdivisions. There's also $40 million in user finance bond authorization for the RFA Rural Finance Authority. Then $25 million for the Minnesota Zoo, and $25.109 million for the Department of Administration, and that's a mix of both general fund and GO bonds. Then for amateur sports, $8.35 million. Military Affairs, $21.895 million. the Department of Public Safety, both grants to political subdivisions and to the agency, 54.811 million, of which 500 is general fund, 500,000, I should say. Then under the Department of Transportation, on the fifth page, the total is 452,952,000. Of that, 102 million is trunk highway bonds, 3.5 million is general fund, and then both GEO and transportation fund, which is essentially GEO, just a different fund category, is 213.9 million and 133 million respectively. Then moving on to the Met Council, there's a total of 128.42 million. That is both programmatic grants, transit grants, and named grants to political subdivisions. And then for the Department of Human Services, 75.778 million, of which 17.2 million is general fund. And there's a mix of both agency projects and grants to political subdivisions. Then for the Department of Veterans Affairs, 14.6 million, all GEO bonds. And then the Department of Corrections on page seven, 66.259 million, and that's a mix of both State Department of Corrections and grants to political subdivisions. Then on page eight and page nine is Department of Employment and Economic Development. The first few lines, starting on line 304, are grant programs and asset preservation. And then starting on line 310 are grants to political subdivisions in, for the most part, alphabetical order. The total for under deed is 203,462,000, of which 14.875 million is general fund grants. Then moving on to page 10, the Public Facilities Authority, both programs and named grants to political subdivisions, the total is 327.168 million, of which 1.05 million is general fund. And then for the Housing Finance Authority, 48 million for public housing rehabilitation. Under Historical Society on page 11, 5,325,000, of which 275,000 is general fund. And then under Minnesota Management and Budget, this is the bond sale expenses. So these numbers are driven by how large the GEO or trunk highway bonding numbers are for selling the debt. The total is 2.213 million. And then the next few lines you can see starting on line 438 are appropriation bond authorizations. You can see for two MPCA programs, one for electric vehicle infrastructure, then public television, then another MPCA program, and there's a few items that this would potentially fund, but the language doesn't list dollar amounts for them, so the total is 22.9 million, and there's a separate table on that lower down. And then for MHFA, 214 million in appropriation bond authorization, and that is split 200 for the general program and 14 specific for emergency shelters. Then on the last page of the spreadsheet, you can see a summary of totals. On line 459 is the net GEO impact, so that's the general fund portion of GEO debt service, and that's distinct from user financing or general fund spending or trunk highway spending or appropriation bonds. On the box on line 416 through 466 are some back of the bill numbers, and then there's an explanation of the different fund types and a box detailing the MPCA demand response amount from the previous page. Then moving on very quickly to the next spreadsheet, this is the debt service tracking spreadsheet. So this shows the debt service impact of this bond authorization in addition to the authorization for appropriation bonds and general fund spending. So this is it's labeled debt service and capital budget tracking. And you can see it's in a landscape format. The first few lines show the base appropriation bond debt service. So this, nothing has changed here from lines 3 to 9. But then everything below that in bold is changes proposed in either the governor's recommendations or this DE amendment. So you can see those first few lines are changes in debt service for the appropriation bonds authorized. And then you see a total on line 20. And then below that is the general obligation bond. So that's the just under or just around 2 billion GO bond authorization. So in bold on line 23, you can see both the governor and the DE amendment to 2529 has an increase in debt service of about 19.8 million. And then moving further down, you can see one change in another area. There's some changes in the language that Ms. Dyson will go into around previously authorized maximum school effort loans. There's a net small general fund savings, and you can see that negative 18,000 in fiscal 2021. That's both in the governor's bill and in this DE amendment. And then below that on line 27, you can see, or excuse me, 37, you can see the change in trunk highway debt service. And then on the next page of that landscape spreadsheet is a biennial summary of the governor's and the DE amendments increase in debt service. So whereas the first page showed the base plus increase, this is just showing the difference. So that's the spreadsheets, Mr. Chair, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Okay, are there any questions of Mr. Lee? Representative Grafflo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And going to the first spreadsheet, and feel free to defer to maybe to the staff from the committee on these questions. I'm looking at line 203, the Safe Schools, Safe Routes to Schools program. And there is a GO portion as well as a general fund appropriation. Can someone from the staff just explain why there's a separate general fund appropriation for that as well as GO?
Okay, would that be a question for Ms. Dyson or Mr. Lee?
I'm assuming Ms. Dyson.
Okay.
But I don't want to presume that Mr. Lee doesn't know the answer.
Whichever, Ms. Dyson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, it relates to Safe Routes to School that would be on tribal lands, and they're not eligible for GO bonding.
Thank you, Ms. Dyson. Next question then for Ms. Dyson, I presume. Line 388 on the spreadsheet. It's labeled as a Duluth North Shore Sanitation District debt service reduction. Can you just provide a brief summary of what that is?
Ms. Dyson?
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, because it's a reimbursement, it would not be eligible for GO bond funding, and it's reimbursement for debt that was issued by the district.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I'm looking at that right, it looks like we're using the bonding bill to lower property taxes for folks in Duluth. I think I'm understanding that right. I don't need Ms. Dyson to answer that question.
That's a question perhaps of others rather than staff.
Right. It was mostly
Mr. Chair,
rhetorical in nature. I didn't want Ms. Dyson to have to answer that question, but it looks like we are using the bonding bill to lower some taxes for just certain jurisdictions, though. And then coming over to the debt service guidelines that I'm looking here, I just want to make sure that I'm understanding the second, and this is for Mr. Lee, on page 2 of the debt service and capital budgeting tracking. General fund change versus base only, the cumulative total of how much additional debt service we're adding not in GO bonds, but in cost to the general fund. Which line is that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, so that would be two lines on line 48 is the additional appropriation bond debt service. And then on line 51 is the additional GO bond debt service. And then it gets a little complicated because on line 54 is the one-time cash spending. And then a slight change in debt service on line 56. So the total you'd be looking at is on line 60. And then 63 shows something as a result of the governor's budget that the governor's budget narrative included $30 million, but it wasn't actually in the language. So I think that the number you'd look for is line 63.
Yeah, and so, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Lee, just to understand that. So for me, in terms of tracking what we're spending with the budget deficit, line 60, the roughly $240 million that we are committing to fiscal year 2021, as well as fiscal year 22-23, that would be the general fund cost all in of this bill above base. Am I reading that correctly?
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, that's correct.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll save my comments for the closing speech as we take up the
floor. Representative Torkelson.
There we go. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to focus a little bit on the transportation portion of the bill, which is on page 5. The Department of Transportation released a kind of a update of their revenue forecast back in early May, and that demonstrated that we're down in gas tax, registration tax, and motor vehicle tax by nearly $400 million in revenue. And their comments on that particular release, that there is a great deal of uncertainty with the assumptions used in this update. In other words, gas tax, motor vehicle sales tax, and other revenues are really teetering on major reductions. And as you know, it is the Highway User Trust Fund that has to fund trunk highway bonds. So while we are technically below that 20% mark for the maximum trunk highway bonds that we can offer within guidance, there is a major risk that we can run out of money to fund currently authorized projects. I would like Mr. Lee to kind of flesh out my statement a little bit, because he understands the intricacies of these numbers much better than I do. But in general terms, these are uncertain times for transportation because of revenue forecasts going south. People aren't driving as much. People aren't buying cars as much. And I think caution is what we should be using. But a little bit further explanation of the way these funds interact would be appreciated if Mr. Lee could add to my statement.
And some are buying electric, by the way. Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and Representative
Elf and Representative Garofalo. Go ahead, Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and Representative Torkelson, yes, so the interim forecast also included, that came out last week, also included a reforecast of the transportation tax items. So that includes the motor fuels tax, the registration tax, and the motor vehicle sales tax, in addition to various airports fund taxes. And that showed a decrease in tax revenue to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund, which is the constitutionally dedicated fund that funds both local aid through cities and counties, as well as the Trunk Highway Fund. And the Trunk Highway Fund gets a portion of its revenue from the HUTD, the lion's share portion. So the decrease to the Trunk Highway Fund because of the loss of or the estimated decline of transportation taxes for the current biennium was about $232 million. That's just to the Trunk Highway Fund. And that also impacts the MnDOT's internal debt management policy of allowing no more than 20% of state transportation resources be used for debt service. Right now, the debt service as the debt percentage is about 16.6%, and that is an increase from about 16.5%. But previously issued trunk highway bonds from the 2017 and 2018 transportation and bonding bills would cause that to go up, I think topping out closer to probably 17%. Unfortunately, the tails estimates are not available in the transportation funds forecast. The reforecast was only for the current biennium. So in November, there'll be a better sense of where the state is at with that 20% limit. But in the guidance that the Department of Transportation gave with the reforecast, they estimated that the maximum additional trunk highway bond capacity as a result of the forecast changes was about $480 million. But another issue would be having to find the trunk highway cash available to pay for the debt service. I hope I answered the question.
Representative Torque.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Lee. I think that helps a lot. I just have one other suggestion. It's my understanding that the chief executive of a certain electric car company is not satisfied with the way he's being treated in the state in which he's operating. Perhaps we should recruit that company. Maybe they could come to Minnesota and build Teslas here. Just a thought, Mr. Chair.
Well, Representative Torkelson, some of us were here in the legislature when we tried to attract when Governor Perpich was governor the Saturn plant. And I understand we were one of the finalists, but in the end, we didn't get it. So we've been down that road before. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to just direct a few questions towards Chair Murphy, if Chair Murphy, you know, we all recognize that there is a very precarious nature to the smaller municipalities with the local match. And I'm just wondering if you have verified with those folks if the match is still available based upon the loss or declining rate of revenue, and if you could verify for me how many or what specific projects are truly shovel ready, given the current status of the economic situation.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, we are rechecking that, and we are getting new every day. Cities are calling in to say that it's going to be difficult, but we have a list that has projects ready to go within the next 6 months, between now and 6 months from now. And there's considerably numbers of projects that are indeed ready to go. And those at the University of Minnesota, and the Minsky systems are absolutely ready to go.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Albright.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. My next question would be pointed at Mr. Lee. Mr. Lee, in a typical bonding cycle project, we authorize the letting of bond issues based upon the bonding bill. I'm just wondering if you could, for the sake of the members of the committee, identify kind of the mechanics of when those bonds are let and in what sequence those are let out over the course of a number of future months.
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and Representative Albright, certainly. So the MMB assumes that a certain percentage of each year's bonding authorization, if there is a bonding authorization, is the actual project's cash flow over a number of years, because MMB only releases money for the projects after there's a grant agreement and when there's a cash flow needed. So for example, if a project 1 year only needs pre-design and design, they only get the money for the pre-design and design in that year, and then they get a larger amount when they move into construction. So MMB for each revises these estimates with each bonding cycle, but assumes that about 15% of the amount authorized in a bonding bill will come from the bond sale in that year. So for example, if a bonding bill is authorized in this year, about 15% of the cash flow would happen in 2020 in the bond sale that would take place this year, about 35% in 2021, another 35% in 2022, about 13% in 2023, and about 2% in 2024. Those are estimates, as some projects can start quicker and some projects take much longer, but that's usually what MMB estimates for kind of all of the projects combined as an average.
Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, I'll leave my questions at that, but for the testifiers, I guess one final comment or question, you could certainly answer this or even Chair Murphy, but given the statements made by the minority leader in the House recently with regard to a bonding bill, I'm just wondering why we're bringing up a bonding bill in Ways and Means until we hear a response from the governor.
I didn't hear the last part. You said until we what?
Realize a response from the governor to the point that the minority leader raised about his actions before we could proceed with a bonding bill in the House.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Albright, we cannot stop our work. The people of Minnesota are expecting a bonding bill, and whatever politics gets in it or whatever, whenever we're released from this custody of the either or, we have to be prepared in a minute's time to get this bill comfried and into the people's hands. The people are expecting this outcome. Everybody heard for over a year that this isn't a bonding year. We should not be discussing this. Well, this was the first year, 2019, was a building year. And we were building our proposal. And now the proposal is pretty well up, and there can be changes made to it. It can go down or it can go up. But we're ready to prepare and prepared to answer the people of Minnesota with their expectations of a partnership with the state in investing in their hopes and dreams for the future.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to respond to that. Chair Murphy, while you and I share a strong passion for seeing Minnesota go forward in a strong bipartisan manner, I think you could also agree that the real way that we're going to partner with the state of Minnesota is by showing first a good faith effort between the governor and the legislative body to make sure that we're charting a path forward to reopen Minnesota. It's often said that you need to first eat the vegetables and your meat and potatoes off the plate before you get to dessert. I would strongly argue that we need to be eating what's on our plate first in terms of making sure that we open up Minnesota before we get to dessert. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I just would comment, being that you directed it both to myself and Representative Murphy, we are in the last week, and as Chair of Ways and Means, I think it's important that we keep some of these bills moving so that we're well positioned for whatever discussions take place in the days ahead. Keep in mind, we have to adjourn by the 18th, and so I have to keep an eye on the calendar as well. And so I think it's important for that reason, as well as the very important points that Representative Murphy made. Representative Albright, were you done?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and a few questions on logistics. I think most people are aware that the bond market has been terribly unstable over the last few months because of the flu. And I just looked at some numbers, and back in January, municipal bonds were going for about 0.5% less than treasuries. In March, they were up to 2% more, and now they're still 0.5% more. So what we've seen is a lot of uncertainty in the bond market because of all of the circumstances. And if we would happen to have a second wave or a third wave of this, I would assume that we could easily see those same spreads that we saw back in March. So my question is, once a bond or a capital investment bill is passed and the bonds are actually then authorized by the state, who makes the decision as to whether or when they're going to be let? Because if indeed the projects are started, there may not be much discretion as far as when they have to be let. And if we happen to get into another peak of maybe being 200 over treasuries like we were back in March, that's going to add significantly to the cost. So I'm not sure who to ask the question to, if somebody is around from MMB or if somebody is aware of how that process is done. But we're in such an uncertain environment, I'd like to know how these things are going to be let so that the state doesn't get into trouble.
I'm not sure if anybody's here from MMB, but I think it's a general rule that they probably go out in August. But I do know from history, MMB watches the market very closely. But from my perspective, that's something that they've been very successful historically in choosing the right time to issue bonds and getting the best possible interest rates. Is anybody on from MMB? I don't think so. Anything
to add? Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
I think Representative Vogel is bringing up a point that we should address. And Minnesota is a moderately low debt state, and we have a triple AAA rating. And the median is about 4.1, and this debt service would be at 3.3, bring us up to 3.3. And that might, I know that it is, as he's saying, it's kind of volatile right now, but we're still considerably under the 4.1.
Representative Vogel.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I understand that we do have some numbers that have been used by MMB. It's unfortunate that they're not here because, you know, we need to discuss this stuff now, because next concern is, how do we protect our bond rating if indeed on June 30th, the numbers don't come back very nice from the pension deficit that we face? And the reason I say that is that not only are we in a market that's really volatile relative to the selling of tax-exempt bonds, but we don't know what's going to happen with our pensions. And those liabilities could easily be 3, 4, or 5 times what we have in general obligation bonds. So, again, my question maybe would have to be directed to MMB, who isn't here, but how much flexibility do we have? Because let's say that in June, we come back with a lower, even a negative return on the investment portfolio relative to pensions, and the rating, our bond rating crashes, and all of a sudden we're obligated on issuing bonds in an adverse market with an adverse rating. So, I wish somebody from MMB was here to answer some of these questions, because this is kind of the last stop this bill may have before it gets to the floor. And people are going to be voting on authorizing the issuance of bonds in a market that could really be disrupted. And finally, I guess I'm looking at the debt service and the tremendous growth that comes in the next biennium, which would indicate that a lot of these bonds, even though they may be issued this spring or this fall, if indeed the market allows us, are not going to be issued until later. So my question is, how many jobs are expected to be created by year end by passing the capital investment bill?
Representative Murphy.
It depends on who you're listening to, Mr. Chair, but there could be up to 30,000 jobs.
Representative Vogel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and there could be, but when you're looking at the projections here of how many bonds are going to be sold, most of them are looking to be sold into next year or future biennium. So, Mr. Chair, I think before this bill would ever come to the floor, we really should have some indication, because it's being sold as a jobs bill. And yet, if it's not going to provide jobs in the very near future when we really need them, and if indeed we do get into a more of a V recovery, which was estimated by MMB last week, we may not need the jobs as much next spring or summer. We need them maybe this fall. And I'd like to see from somebody how many jobs are actually going to be created in the third and fourth quarter of this year, because it doesn't appear to me that there's going to be that many bonds left relative to the increase in debt service being loaded more into the next fiscal year. Thank you. With that, Mr. Chair, again, it would have been nice from MAB to be here, because I think if we're going to thoroughly discuss this, we have to be aware of how the market is going to treat us in selling these things, and if indeed we're going to be able to sell them, and if we're not, how we're going to provide the flexibility so that if we can't sell them, we're not obligating ourselves to projects that can't be funded with the bonds. Thanks, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It must be a bonding year, because we're again hearing GOP members refer to the bonding bill as dessert. I just like to remind the committee that for an awful lot of Minnesotans in every community across the state, the bonding bill is how they pay for the meat and the vegetables and the bread and the milk. Members, the construction industry went into this virus-induced recession pretty strong. If you talk to the people who actually pound nails and bend pipe and do all that stuff, their concern is, where are we going to be 6 months from now as economic activity ground to a halt in the face of the virus? So we need, as the Minnesota House, to build out a horizon that includes not just today, but looking out 6 months and a year from now, so that there are jobs available for Minnesotans to pay their bills and take care of their families. If we want Minnesota's economy to come back, an unemployed construction worker doesn't take the family to a reopened restaurant, doesn't swing by the local bar for a beer with the buddies, doesn't stop at the shoe store for a new pair of work boots. We need to be able to look longer term than the immediate, responsibly, and in a way that provides jobs in communities across the state. This isn't dessert. This is how folks pay for the meat and the vegetables, the bread and the milk. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Vertice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree, Representative Dabney, that we do need to get people back to work. And part of putting construction workers back to work means that the private sector has to be earning income to qualify for mortgages as well, in terms of capital projects that are in the mortgage industry. Chair Murphy, thanks for your leadership in the capital investment committee and your long tenure upon it. And before COVID-19, of course, many of us were working on carrying legislation for members of our constituents and cities and within our communities. And this kind of came about not necessarily quickly, but as I'm reviewing the spreadsheet, I just wonder if you could comment how this beyond the work of the committee directly, the actual projects that were decided, how could you maybe comment a little bit how this first draft was prepared? Was there any involvement of the minority in putting this together, this first spreadsheet that you presented?
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, yes, the minority was involved, and the committee was involved as a committee completely throughout 2019 up to the last week of 2019 before the bill was revealed. In 2019, and then it has 2529 has been in Ways and Means since I think it was May 15th of 2019, and using the committee process as we did in 2019 and into 2020, the committee had complete input into this bill until March 17th. But March 17th, there was one more scheduled special meeting scheduled for March 17th that had to be canceled. And so the bills that were heard up through them were considered on this for the 2529 spreadsheet. And so it was updated up to 2017. And from 2017 to today, we had several work groups on remote, and we had an exercise that Lead Erdahl and I had together for a week and a half, and we got input in there. And from all those exercises, then the bill was put together with the input of committee members of the minority and the majority. And if you look at the spreadsheet and look at the projects that are located across the state in all regions, north, south, east, west, central, metro, you will see that there's a balance of projects. And they're the needs of the projects, not the dessert, not even, well, I won't go there, but not the dessert on the project, the projects that are most needed and emergency type of projects that have to start being addressed now are in this balanced spreadsheet.
Okay, next up is Representative Garofalo. You indicated you wanted to make some concluding comments on behalf of your caucus as the lead.
Mr. Chairman, I'll wait until Representative Hornstein, I see him waving. They're saying hi to me, or he's getting ready to speak again.
Representative Hornstein was on and then left, and now he's back on. So we'll recognize Representative Hornstein, and then I'll go to you for your concluding comments, Representative Garofalo. Representative Hornstein, well, you're not turned on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Garofalo. I wasn't sure we were going to be doing more comments. So I just, first of all, wanted to thank Representative Murphy, Chair Murphy, so much for this bill. I know how hard she and her committee have worked, and we had a fantastic hearing on the passenger rail portion of this bill in Duluth, and I was so pleased to see the community coming together and supporting that. And I'm very also supportive of not only the passenger rail provisions, safe route to schools, electric vehicles, arterial bus rapid transit. These are all job-producing investments that will also help our mobility and help address our climate crisis. So for all of those reasons, I'm very supportive of those provisions. I do have one concern, though. In the original bill, we had $70 million for arterial bus rapid transit. That's been trimmed back to $55 million. I would hope that moving forward, we could get that additional line from St. Paul to Minneapolis, or Minneapolis to St. Paul on and vice versa on the bus rapid transit docket here. But one note of caution on the transportation arena. We have a number of earmarked projects, and I think transportation chairs in the past on a bipartisan basis have spoken against inclusion of too many of these, because sometimes they're not shovel ready, sometimes they're not in any part of a MnDOT plan. I think that is certainly the case for a number of the earmarked transportation highway projects in this bill. And so I hope moving forward, we can take a closer look at that. But I do appreciate very much this bill. It is a job producer. And I hope that when I talk about earmarks, Mr. Chairman, I don't come across as the Grinch that stole earmarks, but they are very much problematic. And we're seeing a trend in bonding bills of having more of these projects. So a cautionary note in my very supportive comments to the chair and to the bill.
Okay, thank you, Representative Hornstein. Representative Garofalo, concluding comments before we vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hornstein,
I'm good.
You're good. Okay, Representative Garofalo, concluding comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And of course, it's always difficult to challenge a bill that's authored by the very argumentative Mary Murphy, one of the most partisan members of the legislature. It's very tough to challenge her. as always, thank you to the nonpartisan staff, Chair Murphy and others, for the work they're putting in on these bills. It's a challenging time, and it's just worth restating to everyone that we really appreciate the work that they're doing. Mr. Chairman, if I may make a suggestion, within the application we're using for these committee hearings, we have the opportunity to have the person.
You're fading out, Representative Garofalo. Maybe get closer to your mic.
You were going to make the first time. That's been the first time I've been told I'm not loud enough.
Let me try something here, Mr. Chairman. Go ahead,
Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me? Okay.
I am right now.
Okay, thank you. So, if I make a suggestion, Mr. Chairman, that for nonpartisan staff, if we could allow them the opportunity to share their screens when they're presenting spreadsheets, I think it'd be easier for members to know which documents they're covering and at which times. If that's just a suggestion for you and nonpartisan staff as we go forward, it helps members. I have the benefit of three computer monitors at home, and it's challenging for me to follow things. So for those members who only have a single monitor, it may be difficult. Just a suggestion. So Mr. Chairman and members, the bill we have before us today ignores a major reality, and that is that the governor is currently exercising emergency powers in an arbitrary fashion. Right now, the governor has decided on his own that bars and restaurants at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport can be open, but the bars and restaurants across our state cannot. He's also decided that last week at the state's largest candy store opened, which is a good thing. I'm glad that they're open. But I want that opportunity for other businesses across Minnesota. And likewise, we see that Walmart has its aisles jammed full with people, but our local downtown businesses and small towns and regional centers are not allowed to have customers, not able to sell their services, their customer service, their products within the walls of their business. They're forced to use curbside delivery. And thus far, there's been an unwillingness of the DFL to acknowledge the arbitrary nature of these decisions. And Minnesotans are getting unnecessarily and economically harmed. That's why the House Republicans have come forward and made very clear that before we take care of government spending for capital investment, we need to reopen and provide structure to those private sector businesses to allow them to re-engage in commerce while also protecting public health. We can do both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. And today's bill ignores that reality. Today's bill fails to acknowledge the fact that we need to do those things to have a capital investment bill for this year. Now, with regards to the substance of this bonding bill, this is a bonding bill that was written for yesterday. It's not written for tomorrow. Reality is that there's a pre-COVID-19 world and there's a post-COVID-19 world. In the post-COVID-19 world, we should not be building new facilities. We should be focusing on preserving asset preservation. And in this bill, there's far too much new construction when rehabilitation and asset preservation should be of a higher focus. Second of all, is that I'm glad the DFL has recognized in this bill that Minnesotans are paying too much in taxes. But it is unfortunate that we're using the capital investment bill to provide tax relief to one community, and that is the city of Duluth. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. I certainly share the goal of lowering taxation and lowering the cost of government for everyone in the state of Minnesota. I don't believe the bonding bill is the right way to do it, and I certainly don't believe it should be giving preference to one community. Third and finally is the cost of this bill. This is the Ways and Means Committee. This is a fiscal committee, and we have a responsibility to balance the budget. Facing a $2.5 billion budget deficit with a state unemployment rate in excess of 25%, we've seen in consecutive days the DFL has first proposed pay raises for government workers, and now today is proposing to add an additional $240 million above forecast for additional debt service on government spending. Money that we don't have, money we can't afford to spend. And members, I'll leave you with one last statistic because I believe that there is a level of fiscal denial going on with many members of the legislature, sadly on both sides of the aisle. In April of 2019, the state of Minnesota collected just over $2 billion in income tax revenue. That's for 1 month. 2019, over $2 billion in income tax revenue. Yesterday, we received the numbers from MMB on the April tax revenues for our state. Our state collected $980 million in income tax revenue. We saw an over 50% reduction in income tax revenue. And as everyone on the call knows, income taxes are how this state and previous legislatures have chosen to fund a majority of our general fund budget. This budget does not acknowledge, this capital investment bill does not acknowledge the reality in. It does not acknowledge the shutdown that's occurring in the private sector. It does not acknowledge the arbitrary nature of which the governor has decided which businesses are winners and which ones are losers. Chairman Murphy, I look forward to working with you on this bill in the future, but today I'll be voting no and would urge members to vote no as well. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Olson, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House File 2529, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? We've got four other bills up, so we do need to move along. Representative Liebling on the motion.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wondered, and it doesn't have to be now, but I'd like some clarification maybe from Mr. Marks, because what Representative Garofalo just said about the downturn in our tax collections, I was under the understanding that we had let people delay paying their taxes, and I had understood from the state economists that that was something that was injecting some uncertainty. So I thought it was kind of unfair to say this is a measure of our economy right now when we know very well that there's a really good reason why that's so. But I'm just going to leave it there. And if maybe at some point, maybe Mr. Marks could comment on that and see if I'm correct or if I'm misunderstanding something.
Okay, and I do want to give Representative Murphy a chance to wrap things up before we vote on the motion. Representative Murphy, any further comments?
Mr. Chair, I accept the things that have been said, and I could answer them bit by bit if we had more time. But I truly believe the bill that is before you is a bill for today and tomorrow. It addresses the emergencies across the state in public safety, clean water, and using our natural resources to the best of our abilities. And the highest ways that we can. This is a bill that will benefit our kids and the next generation. It is a bill for today and a bill for tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Representative Murphy. With that, Ms. Parkman will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Aye. Representative Davids?
No.
Davids, no. Representative Davney?
Aye.
Davney, aye. Representative Druskowski?
No.
Druskowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
No.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman? Representative Hausman? Representative Hertas?
No.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor? Representative Noor?
He's signaling aye with his thumb.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski votes aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Torkelson?
No.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel?
No.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. Representative Hausman? Representative Hausman?
Okay, has everybody voted who wishes to vote? I want to give everybody a chance. Hey, why don't you give us the total?
17 ayes, 10 nays.
And the bill has passed and will be forwarded on to the general register. Thank you, Representative Murphy. And
thank you, members of the committee. Thank you, Representative Carlson.
You're very welcome, and good luck in the future on getting the bill into law. The comment that Representative Garofalo made about posting some of the charts, we'll check with our IT folks and see what goes into that. But I do want to remind members that staff has been posting the documents in advance of the meetings. So for example, I went over the spreadsheet last night dealing with capital investment. So that option is available, but we'll Representative Garofalo see what our technology folks have to say about posting them while we're live for the committee. With that, our next bill is by Representative Tapke, and it's House File 4597. Representative Olson, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 4597, the first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Tapke, welcome to the committee. Would you care to explain the bill?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. I appreciate everyone's time and being here. I have this bill today, which is a bill for the Minnesota Racing Commission, and it will benefit the horse racing industry as well as the tracks running aces in the North Metro as well as Canterbury Park here in Shakopee. And so this bill does three main things, and they're all financially related. Most are financially related items. One is it allows purse money to be used in different ways. So the money that's coming into the tracks will be able to be used for different types of improvements to help the horse racing industry. The second thing is that it changes the advanced deposit wagering piece. So any bet that is made in the state of Minnesota, currently is at 1% of that comes into the Minnesota Racing Commission, and this bill will switch that from 1% to 2%. And also a technical change, it allows the Minnesota Racing Commission to reduce the number of races and change that number as it moves forward. And so here at the two racetracks here in Minnesota, they are statutorily required and will be racing this summer, whether there are crowds there or not. And so what this bill will do is to be able to have both of those tracks be as financially sound as possible. And so the fiscal aspects of the bill, it moves the 1% to 2% change on what is being brought in from the advanced deposit wagering folks. That will bring in about $625,000 this biennium and $264,000 in the next biennium. And what that will do is it allow that to offset charges and different things that the Minnesota Racing Commission would be generally charging to their the racetracks. And so with that, Mr. Chair, I just want to note that this bill sunsets on December 31st of 2021. So it's just a short-term, very COVID-related bill for the health of the racing industry in Minnesota.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, would you care to renew your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 4597, the first engrossment as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Davney?
Aye.
Davney, aye. Representative Druskowski? Representative Druskowski? Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
Aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, aye.
Kreisha, aye. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski votes aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott?
Aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius? Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye.
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski?
Aye.
Drazkowski, aye. 29 ayes, zero nays.
Okay, the motion passes, and the bill is on its way to the General Register. Thank you, Mr. Kapke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The next bill up is House File 2682, Representative Lilly. Representative Lilly, would you care to make a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 2682, First Engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Now, there are two amendments. You want to take the amendments now, Representative Lilly?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. I move the DE1 amendment.
Okay, the amendment is before us. Now, there's an amendment to the amendment. Do you want to move that one at this point, Representative Lilly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Yes, I'd like to move the A3 amendment as well. Do you want me to explain any of that or just kind of...
Well, now that we have the motion for the A3 amendment, the next question is if you could explain the amendment, Representative Lloyd.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The amendments are, quite honestly, they're COVID-related because we could not move the bill through traditional processes, you know, through the normal committee. And my apologies to my committee. I've had a great committee, but it just... with COVID, it was hard to meet, and so we're moving this a little bit unconventionally. And then last minute, the A3 amendment is Bowser on the clean water section of my bill, or our bill, rather. They want to extend some RIM appropriations. So anyways, with the easements and then restrictions. So that's what the A3 is. It was a last minute idea that the Bowser wanted to add in, and we're trying to respect that and get the bill in the best shape we can.
Okay, the A3 amendment is before us. Any discussion? Representative Hansen.
I would support the amendment.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then all in favor of the A3 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Amendment is adopted. Now we have amendment before us as amended. Representative Lilly, if you'd care to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The bill before you as amended is basically the work of all the funds in the legacy committee. And thank you for hearing it today. And the legacy bill is important to the people of Minnesota. This bill helps keep people working on habitat projects all over Minnesota. It also provides important extension to funds canceling at the end of June this year, and then some ending next June. COVID has been devastating, especially in the arts and cultural organizations. And this bill allows for us to make it clear that we want legacy funds to try to help through this process. This bill helps people, you know, all across Minnesota and all these funds. So we're pretty lucky as a state to have this and the good work it's doing. Just to kind of go through the bill real quick here, Article 1 is basically picks up the Outdoor Heritage Lessard Sams Committee that Representative Fabian and Representative Becker Finn are a part of, and Becker Finn was the author in the House, and so it picks up her bill and the work of the Lessard Sams Committee, and we were able to work with them, and because of the MMB numbers came out earlier this, you know, the last few days. And we worked with them to cut across the board equally, adjust all the projects. And but based off the recommendation, the recommendations had a 12-0 vote. And then so this respects that and then clips off, you know, about 20 million to across the board. And so they wanted to do that. And I think it ends up being a better product with respect to the change in the world. There also is provisions in here to have the Lessard Sams Group public meetings public recorded and sent out. They're doing great work, but there was the opinion of the House to try to get those even more accessible to people. They can view them around the state, and Lessard Sams is going to be able to do that a little better and respect that. Article 2 is, again, as I mentioned in my article or my introduction, extends the availability of past appropriation for all four of the funds, and a little bit longer, so 1 year, and then a little bit longer in the arts in the second year. So it reinstates there was a problem with the Medal of Honor. Representative Detmer was real involved with this, and this is the Medal of Honor complex on the Capitol and Capitol Mall, and I think Representative Nelson, Chair Nelson, and then Senator Kiffmeyer were kind of signed off on this being a good project. And then, or maybe that was actually the next one. That's the Arts Board, I think, on the 1 year extension for those folks. But anyways, there's language in there to help the arts community, especially, and all the, not just the arts, but a lot of our like county fairs are really hurting right now. And so it helps them all over the state, libraries, the children's museums. But we want to try to make sure that people can thrive and survive in the future. But it seems like it's a good bill, and we've run this by the GOP team, and I think we've put together a good package and be able to do good work and continue with the legacy funds that everybody kind of likes all over the state. So that's about it, Mr. Chair.
Okay, before we adopt the DE1 amendment as amended, Representative Garofalo, I think I saw your hand up.
Mr. Chairman, I'll wait until the closing statement.
Okay, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And as Representative Lilly pointed out, the thing about the Arts Board is they were given money last year, authorized to move their location. They're being their lease is being terminated in the location they're at, but because of the COVID stuff going on, they were unable to complete their move. And so that what we're just doing is giving them a 1 year extension to be able to move and get and deal with that and get and move into their new location. And that's what that's about. So that's what I put my hand up for.
Okay, thank you. Representative Garofalo, did you want to comment? There's no other hands up right now.
Mr. Chairman, you haven't adopted the amendment yet, have you?
Well, I thought you wanted to speak to the amendment. That's what's before us.
My apologies. I'll wait till final passage.
Okay, we'll adopt the amendment. The DE1 amendment is before us as amended. Any further discussion on the DE1 amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. The bill is now before us as amended. Representative Drakowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be curious if the bill author could tell us how many more acres of land that we are having state government buy and put into control of government, both in fee title and in easement in this bill.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we're well prepared. I have a with the Lessard Sams Council, I have the director, Mr. Mark Johnson, and I believe he could be a little more specific on that question. We've really, the Lessard Sams Council has really tried to respect some of the concerns about northern land purchases, and they've moved a lot of purchases that are done in southern Minnesota. But a lot of this is restorations, like trout streams and prairies. So it isn't, and a lot of it's easements, which are I think we, you know, referred to that RIM thing at the beginning of the amendment. A lot of it's that sort of thing. If Mr. Johnson, I saw him earlier. I'm sure he's here. Maybe he could answer specifically.
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair and members, yes, I'd be glad to. From a acres standpoint, there will be about 70,000, just shy of 70,000 acres that will be worked on in one form or another through this bill. From an acquisition standpoint, there are about 9,400, a little less than 9,400 acres that are anticipated to be purchased in fee, and also another 9,600 acres that are anticipated to have conservation easements purchased for them. So the land for the acquisition portion will be about 19,000 acres of that 69,000 acres that are going to be enhanced, restored, or acquired. And then each of those 19,000 acres of acquisition will also be restored or enhanced as well.
Representative Duskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Johnson and Representative Lilly. We're seeing the same pace happen here, members, about 10,000 acres a year. These monies are used through the legislature and the Lessard Sams, their interpretation of how these funds should be used seems to be that government has to own more and more of the land and take it out of the hands of the people. And the rhetorical question, of course, I won't ask it directed to anybody, Mr. Chair, are the number of acres held in private land increasing, decreasing, or remaining the same? And we know the answer to that. The government ownership is getting bigger and the private ownership is getting smaller. The individual's getting smaller and the government's getting bigger. I'll be voting no. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe this is a question for Representative Lilly. On the Clean Water Fund, is it correct that the Senate GOP refused to make any modifications to the reduction in revenue coming in, and that they are their position, which you had to accept, was to have the executive branch make the cuts through unallotment? Is that correct,
Mr. Chair?
Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen. Yes, there was some differences with the Senate, which, you know, is somewhat expected. But this was kind of an area that was a little bit frustrating for the House, because, you know, we went into it with good faith. We did one of these Zoom meetings with Lessard Sams, and we said, hey, what do you want to do? How are we going to, you know, because we know the cuts, you know, need to be made. And, you know, we just didn't want to do it wrong. So we tried the same thing with the water, and I thought it was great. We had a great meeting with their director, Mr. Gardner, and Frank Jewell from up in, who's the head of the Water Commission. And we had a great Zoom with our staff, and I thought we kind of came to, you know, kind of, you know, some understanding. They were going to come back pretty quickly with some numbers, and maybe we still can do that. I'm optimistic, maybe in a special session if there ends up being one. But it was frustrating for the House, I think, because it was in kind of a spirit of good government to kind of do the cuts and be that way. So sorry, that was a long answer, but yes, there was some differences.
Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. And Representative Duskowski, your hand is either still up or you wanted to be recognized again. What's the status? I assume you just didn't take it down from before. Representative Hansen, you were done?
I had a follow-up.
You did. Okay, Representative Hansen, excuse me, I didn't realize that. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and Representative Lilly, I find it intriguing that maybe what we're experiencing here is cafeteria conservatism, where day after day we listen to the railing on the executive branch that the legislature must be involved and that the emergency order should be dropped so the legislature can be involved. And here we have an opportunity for the legislature to be involved, and the Senate Republican caucus takes a absolute position to punt and not exercise their authority to abrogate their responsibility and send it to the executive branch. So I just find it curious in these times of absolutes and ultimatums that are appearing that we have this position being taken.
Okay. Go to Representative Garofalo. You don't have your hand up. Did you want to come?
He did, though.
I do want to do a wrap-up, so if you don't want to comment, that's fine, but Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. And I'm just so surprised to hear that my House DFL colleagues are having disagreements with the Senate. I know I never disagree with the Senate on anything. Mr. Chairman, Representative Lilly, I just want to make sure. So there are portions of the bill that you automatically have adjusted down to reflect the diminished sales tax revenue by 14%. Is that correct?
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Garofalo, yes, it's actually might be closer to 15% or something. You know, it's right around the number is real close. So, yeah, we tried to they had some money. You know, that some projects that hadn't come through. And they had some left some on the bottom line. So that's why the number might not meet, you know, some of what the MMB said straight up as far as where the cash would have been. So,
Mr. Chairman and Representative Lilly, the dean of the Dakota County delegation, Representative Hansen, talked about an allotment stuff. I'm not familiar with that issue. Can you just mention? Can you briefly describe what he's talking about? I'm not familiar with the issue.
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, so what happens is, in reality, the numbers will come in lower or are going to. So we know that. So we kind of showed respect to that with Lassard Sams, realizing that the number, you know, and we adjusted accordingly. So we tried to do the similar thing in the other three funds, so Parks and Trails, the cultural heritage part of the bill, and then the clean water, because clean water is a big number. It's it's as big as Lassard Sams. So we thought it would make sense, especially there, to try to adjust and to make modifications, you know, that they wanted to do, and you know, with our involvement. But as Representative Hansen pointed out, and the MMB. We'll probably be making those cuts then, or adjustments.
And so, Mr. Chairman, Representative Lilly, is it a matter there was a disagreement on the reductions, or they just refused to propose any reductions?
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, they chose not to. The Senate chose not to engage at this point and to make decisions and allow it to go to MMB. We also. Also in that call, and I neglected to say during the original question, is we included the Senate, you know, in that Zoom meeting with the clean water folks. So I thought, you know, we tried to be respectful and just try to be, a good government kind of thing. It didn't work out at this point.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lilly, thank you for the update. I'm going to take as face value what you and Representative Hansen have said. You guys are both honest guys. So that's disappointing that they took that path. And I certainly disagree with that. I think members of the committee may know that there's already memos going around MMB. There's guidance that even funds that have been appropriated, unless they're encumbered in the budget system, that they really should be holding off on funding them. So it is a challenging situation, and I want to thank you, Representative Lilly, for stepping forward on it. I'm going to be voting no on your bill today, but I understand that reasonable people can disagree on this issue. But I do want to thank you for your work on it. But again, I'll be voting no. I expect we'll see members on my side of the aisle voting yes and no. Thank you.
Representative Lilly, would you like to renew your motion?
Yes, can I just make a real quick comment though, Mr. Chair?
Well, I was gonna ask for comments after you made your motion.
Oh, okay.
You wanna do it?
No, I did it wrong in the beginning, so I'll try to do it right now. So let's see. I'll renew my motion that House File 2682, first engrossment, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion, Representative Lilly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And, you know, Minnesota's so lucky to have this legacy amendment. There's a lot of good work, but that's able to be done all over our state in the clean, you know, with cleaning up our waters and the hunting and fishing area and the arts and cultural and parks and trails. You know, it's not perfect, but one thing I wanted to just quickly say, and I don't want to stir the pot with Representative Draskowski, but, you know, not all, you know, the money on these, some of the acquisitions, you know, it allows access to people all over the state and they can get out there. You know, I'm lucky enough to live on water and not everybody can, you know, be in that situation. So anyways, you know, it is people's land and they can get on there and enjoy it. And what a great legacy. So anyways, I'm sorry to talk on. And I want to thank our staff.
We're
so lucky, Janelle and Helen and Mary Mullen and Brad. I mean, we've got an amazing team. And I know Representative Graffel mentioned that earlier on a different bill. But man, we're just so lucky to have a great team. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome, Representative Lilly. Seeing no further discussion, Ms. Markman, our committee clerk, will you take the roll?
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Yes.
Davids, aye. Representative Davney?
Aye.
Davney, aye. Representative Draskowski?
No.
Draskowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
No.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, aye.
Kreisha, aye. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski votes aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
No.
Vogel, no. Representative Wiginius?
Aye.
Yes, aye. 23 ayes, 6 nays.
Okay, the motion prevails, and House File 2682 as amended is on the way to Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Now we have House File 4500, Representative Nelson. Mr. Chair, make a motion.
Yes, I move that House File 4500, the first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
The motion is before us, and you have an amendment. I assume you want to get the bill in the order you want to present it.
Yep, and I'll move the A1 amendment on the bill.
Okay, the A1 amendment is moved. Would you care to discuss the amendment, Representative Nelson?
The A1 amendment puts on some reporting requirements for MMB to get back to us by December 31st of which of these grants that are going to be extended. If you're going to explain it all at one point when the bill's with the bill, okay?
That'll be fine. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carried. Representative Nelson on the bill.
Mr. Chair and members, on the bill, it was brought to our attention there are certain grants that this across the state, both in the arts, both in the nonprofit, and at the University of Minnesota, that expire on June 30th. And some of these grants, because of the COVID, they are not able to do the work that they need to do with the grant money. And so, therefore, we're giving them a one-year extension of till next July or next June 30th, so that they can complete the work that these grants were for. And the University of Minnesota, some of these have to do with research grants, and some of the research grants, they deal with planting and those type of things that happen in the spring. Well, they can't do those in the fall or the winter. They have to start over again next spring. So that's what this is about. When it came up in the State Government Finance Committee, it was asked about whether we can get a report on these, and that's what the A1 amendment does, is the Commissioner of Management and Budget is report back which of these grants get extended, because not all of them are going to get extended. Some of them will be able to complete their work, and this just gives us a report of which ones were had to be extended and the breadth of what they are. And Mr. Chair, members, that's what the bill does, and I hope for your support.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Nelson, would this include all grants, dedicated fund grants, environmental trust fund grants?
Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chair, members, I believe so.
Representative Hansen.
If that is the author's intent, that it includes the Environmental Trust Fund grants, that is the author's intent.
Mr. Chair, I believe so. I believe that's what the grants that are out there. Yes, I believe that is so. And if I'm wrong, I will correct myself when it gets to the floor, but that's my understanding. It's not just grants for the University of Minnesota, it's grants across the board.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, I've been multitasking. We voted on the amendment, didn't we? Representative Nelson, if I recall.
Yes,
we did. Okay.
I believe we did, yes.
Care to renew your motion on the bill as amended?
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 4500, the first engrossment as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, any further discussion? Chair shouldn't multitask during a meeting, but it happens. Seeing no further discussion, Representative Garofalo, I'm shocked and dismayed. We'll go to a vote. Will the clerk take the roll?
Representative Carlson.
He usually has a comment. That's why I was shocked.
Representative Carlson.
Looks like he froze up.
Yep.
Time for a coup, Representative Olson. Take charge.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Yes.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Driskowski?
No.
Driskowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Yes.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertaus?
No.
Hertaus, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha?
No.
Kreisha, no. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski votes aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott?
Aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair?
I think we're chairless at the moment, so.
Vice Chair.
I'm back. I had to jump over to rules, so I missed also. It sounds like, though, Representative Carlson can't get back in. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Correct.
All right. So we will move on then. We'll continue on.
Ms. Vice Chair?
Representative Kreisha.
Thank you. I was distracted, and I actually wanted to vote aye on that. I was wondering if we could go back. I could change my vote.
Ms. Sparkman?
Yep. Kreisha votes aye.
Thank you.
And will you do the vote totals again, and I can get to be sure?
26 ayes, 2 nays.
26 ayes, 2 nays. The motion prevails. The bill's on its way. Okay, to the next bill on the agenda.
Vice Chair Olson?
Yes.
This is Nancy. Representative Carlson is back on now, and he didn't get a chance to vote. So if you want to, could you announce the vote?
We did. We can do that again. And is Representative Carlson taking over there? Is his audio on and everything?
I don't know. There he is.
Okay.
I don't know what happened. What's transpired while I was frozen up?
Representative Carlson, we voted on the final passage. It was during your roll call when your name was called that you froze up.
Okay. So I was voted aye, I assume. And what was the total vote?
No. So you could be voting, and then we could redo the totals, and then you can take over.
You took over then, Representative Olson?
We did. We only got so far as finishing the roll call vote on the Nelson Amendment, which you missed the vote on. So my recommendation would be to have you vote on that, and then re-announce the totals for the passage of that bill, and then you can move.
Why don't Representative Olson, rather than my coming into the middle here, I don't know what transpired, but why don't you finish up then?
Okay, Ms. Sparkman, will you call the last of the roll on House File 4500, the first engrossment, as amended?
Representative Carlson.
Aye.
Carlson, aye. That's 27 ayes and 2 nays.
27 ayes, 2 nays. The motion prevails, and the bill is on its way to the General Register. With that, the next bill on the agenda is House File 3392, Representative Bernard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House File 3392, first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the General Register. I will also move the DE4 amendment to get the bill in the shape I'd like. The DE4 language matches up with the amendment the Senate will be putting on their bill tomorrow on the Senate floor.
Any discussions to the DE4 amendment? And I apologize, my participant view here. Oh, there I can see. I don't see any hands. All those in favor of the DE4 amendment, please signify by voting aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Bernardi, on to your bill.
Thank you, Vice Chair Olson and members. House File 3392, as amended by the DE4 amendment, is a language agreed upon by both the House and Senate and the Office of Higher Education. This bill is a combination of select provisions from the Office of Higher Education's policy and supplemental bills. Throughout negotiations, both bodies worked with stakeholders, including Minnesota State, the University of Minnesota, the Minnesota Private College Council, and others. Ultimately, both the House and Senate agreed to remove any controversial provisions to pass a bill for the Office of Higher Education and our students. This bill updates the statute to reflect current agency practices, increases state authorization reciprocity agreement fees, which is called SARA fees, to adjust for inflation and administration of the program, expands agency collaboration with tribal colleges and career schools, and expands the agency's available tools to prevent Minnesota students from facing an abrupt closure of a school like we saw with the Argosy closure last year. Members, we have received the statements from Minnesota State and University of Minnesota stating they are aware of the SARA fees, which is the State Authorization Reciprocity Agreement fees, and will absorb these fees within their own budget with the money already accounted for in the most recent biennial budget. House File 3392 does not appropriate any general fund money. Commissioner Olson from the Office of Higher Education is here with us today. We stand for questions.
All right. Thank you, Representative Bernardi. Okay.
Okay.
I apologize. Okay. Is there any discussion to the bill? Okay. Seeing none, Representative Bernardi, will you renew your motion?
Well, thank you for this. Thank you, members. While this is not the stronger student protection bill that we worked on to bring to the floor this year, this is a good bill with broad support and bipartisan agreement. We have agreed between the House and Senate, public and private institutions, and the agency on this bill. We have committed from the same group, we have commitments from the same groups of people to continue to work on school closure prevention language over the interim, and we intend to bring a phase two bill in 2021. We have agreement from those affected by the SARA fees that they will absorb the cost, and House File 3392 will not affect the general fund, the bottom line. I'm proud to bring this bill before the committee today. I renew my motion that House File 3392, first engrossment, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Thank you, Representative Bernardi. The motion is in front of us, and we'll have Ms. Markman call the roll, please.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Davney?
Aye.
Davney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
Aye.
Drazkowski, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertaus?
Aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, aye.
Kreisha, aye. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski votes aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott?
Aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. 29 ayes, 0 nays.
All right, on a vote of 29 to 0, the motion prevails and the bill is on the way to the general register. Thank you, Representative Bernardi. And with that, we've finished our agenda for today. I'll turn it to Representative Carlson, Chair Carlson, for any announcements. Otherwise, we're back tomorrow at 9:30.
Yeah, very good. And Representative Olson, I want to say thank you. I have absolutely no idea what happened, other than I was saying I was shocked and dismayed about Representative Garofalo not having a question, so the machine must.
Yeah, what a strange coincidence.
At that point, but I was just going to give him a good-natured hard time because he usually has a wrap-up. But with that, I just want to say thank you, Representative Olson, for jumping in at the last minute there. And, you know, technology works well most of the time, but sometimes things happen that you don't expect. So that's one of those instances. But we'll be back together tomorrow, as Representative Olson pointed out. So have a good day. Meeting adjourned.